Well, the first week of the COP26 summit in Glasgow saw leaders from all around the world gather to discuss the climate crisis and their plans for decarbonisation. While several countries pledged to stop the use of coal, some of the world's largest coal exporters, namely China, Russia and Australia, made no such claim. This begs the question of what will these pledges mean for those who did not sign on, and will there be any geopolitical consequences? James Murray asked Associate Professor Alexei Muraviev of Curtin University if he thinks any new alliances will be formed amongst those countries making the pledges.
Well, I think we can certainly talk about, I won't call it an alliance, but I would call it probably a coalition of willing states which effectively subscribe to the idea of the need to cut emissions and effectively align with calls coming from both Europe as well as the United States. And there would also be another group of countries, which I won't describe as a counter-coalition or any other form of cooperation, who just have different agendas driven by their domestic economic policies, national interests, and obviously geopolitical considerations.
Do you see a value in pledges?
In theory, yes. Obviously, it's a demonstration of commitment, but there is a catch here. A lot of these pledges are made towards really long-term targets. When you talk about something you intend to do over the next 15, 20, or 30 years, you can make a commitment, but who is going to guarantee that this commitment will be honored by the successive government who will be in power at the time when this pledge or parts of this pledge will have to be fulfilled? So I certainly look at it with a degree of healthy skepticism as well, whilst obviously being hopeful that this is something that the states are taking quite seriously, simply because these days, given the volatility of international relations and incredibly fragile international threat environment and unpredictability of what's happening in the world, it's really difficult to see how everything can be guaranteed, what's been publicly declared or even written down, simply because predicting the future 10 or 20 years from now becomes more of a fictionist job rather than something you can definitely say it's going to happen.
Do you believe China and Russia's absence from the COP26 will negatively affect their position geopolitically, given they're both among the top five emitters of carbon dioxide?
I don't think it will have any negative geopolitical fallout. China is an important consumer of energy resources, and obviously this is something that energy providers aspire to get to if they look at China as a continuously hungry energy market. And obviously the economic recovery that the Chinese are in the middle of following a temporary downturn after the outbreak COVID-19 obviously makes major exporters of energy resources compete for China market. Russia, on the other hand, is one of the leading exporters of key energy resources. And given the current energy crisis in Europe and the shortages of quality coal and other energy resources, that obviously puts Russia in a pretty strong position, because even with declared emission targets, the Europeans effectively are fronted with right now is the reality on the ground when they have to basically power up their power station, also fueled by coal and other traditional fossils, simply because they need to live through pretty harsh winter. So in this context, you wouldn't really assume that either the Russians or the Chinese are the outsiders or potential losers simply because they were not physically present at the summit.
Will a shift away from gas and coal re-level current global alliances, with manufacturers like China relying on energy production from Australia and Russia that make use of coal and petroleum?
I wouldn't be quite categorical in making claims that there's going to be inevitable shift from oil, gas and coal. I think down the track it will occur, but there is a lot of skepticism going on about the reality of the implementation of such measures. And certainly Russia's estimates suggest that for the time being, there's not going to be any shortage of demand for either of the fuels in either of the sources of energy resources. What's currently happening there, the trend that I'm observing is Russia increases its production. It increases the extraction of natural gas, which is now planning to pump into Europe by means of recently completed Nord Stream strategic pipeline. It increases the extraction of coal with an anticipation that there's going to be a pretty solid demand at least for the next decade or so. So whilst we may be talking about these desirable goals down the track, but certainly for the foreseeable future, I think we would continue to see the reliance on old-fashioned sources of fuel and continuous demand in terms of countries wanting to acquire those energy products.
Associate Professor Alexey Muraviev of Curtin University speaking there with James Murray.